After the definitions, these two definitions, the main result. I mean, the complexity result, that is the existence of methods and various algorithms, which requires big O and log N complex operations to compute both these two transformations. Well, we state results. Theorem. The number. I give you the number because there are various intermediate intermediate considerations regarding trigonometric polynomials in which we are not interested. Let n be a power of 2. The computational cost of both the transforms, DFT and IDFT, is big O N again, in the TH and over 2 log N complex multiplications and N log N complex additions. In total, and log n complex flops. To say all, one has to say that the cost of computing the roots of unity is not counted. We assume that we have a table of all the roots of unity which will be needed. Well, the result will be proved for the inverse. The same reasoning can be repeated for the direct discrete Fourier transform. So we consider the inverse DFT, which has been defined as
computing the roots of unity
of one. See, yes,
is not
counted.
Sorry, counted. Okay.
So we have to consider the product of V by Z. We have assumed
S log M.
We call
M N over 2, so 2 raised to S minus 1. We start from the definition.
Let us consider the entry, the element of index k of y, the result, which according to the definition of v is given by the sum j is the index of the entries of the row of index k of v, which are the powers of omega sub n, the exponent j by k. Okay. This is simply the definition. We have these powers of the primitive root omega sub n. The idea which has to be exploited is that the computation of all the entries of y can be done using two IVFT of order n. Well, in which way this can be done? We partition the set of the n terms of this sum into subsets, the set of odd terms and the set of even terms. We begin from the term with J and Evan, and then the sum over the terms corresponding to J of. The first sum, we can express all the values, the even values of j as 2 by p, where p is another index which starts from 0 and goes to n minus 1 instead of n minus 1. So j is replaced by 2 by p. And then k is present. The second sum, analogously, we will use another index p again, going from 0 up to n minus 1, where now the index j is expressed as usual on integers as 2 by p plus 1. Now, I have forgotten something. Yes, Z. This is a product by Z, so this sum must include the vector Z with index J. So here, and also So here
z will index, the index was j, which becomes 2 by t here and 2 by t plus 1. Well, for simplicity, define the subvector of z formed by even entries with z prime and the subvector formed by these entries by z prime prime. Moreover, remark that the square of omega sub n is equal to the primitive root omega sub m. Why? Because by definition, omega sub n was exponential, the complex exponential with exponent I by 2 by p over n. Here we have power 2, so we may write here we can transfer these two in the denominator position of n of 2 at the denominator of this exponent, but this is the definition of, you see here n of 2, this is the definition of omega sub n. This is another important fact of which all the idea of the proof relies. So we make write again all these acts, the sum of the index goes, you have here omega sub n squared is omega sub n, the exponent is k, here is z prime with index p to be, now that to be clear, the definitions of the two subvectors k is n equal to 8, okay, you have z0, z prime is, as we have said, a four dimensional vector with the element analogously the other subvector with all entries, and so the index index of z prime is p, the half of the previous index, 0, 1, 2, 3, instead of 0, 2, 4, 6. The other sum can be written as we consider first the constituent given by this term in the exponent, and we put it outside the sum, since it does not depend on the index p. So if we are right, the primitive root raised to k outside the sum is starting from 0 up to m minus 1. And inside the sum, which terms are left? We have again the square of omega sub n, so it is omega sub n, p by k. Here is the other subvector with index again p. The indices are again the values of p from 0 till up to f minus 1. Right? Now, let us look with attention to this form. We can recognize here exactly the formula which gives the inverse dfp of this subvector, z prime, and again here the formula which gives the inverse dfp of this second subvector. So here we are in front of two inverse discrete Fourier transforms of size m, n over 2. Two transforms of the same kind, which size half. This formula can so be used for the values of k from 0, but not up to n minus 1. Up to n minus 1. Why? Why? Because these two transformations are defined over the field C to the n, and not over the field C to the n. So I write this more synthetically. If you use the index q instead of k for to be according to the formula which you will find here, and one, we can write that y sub q is given by y prime sub q plus omega sub n to q by y prime sub q, where y prime is the IDFT of z prime, and y prime is analogously the inverse transform of z prime. But we have to compute the leading entries of y from m to n minus 1. So for y m plus q, all this for u from 0 to m minus 1. This is the entries, these are the entries left. We have to check again the formula. Now, what is changed? What is changed? We have again things. The index is always p. We have, and here we have instead of k, m plus p. This is the current values of k. The second z, no, don't forget z, plus again we have outside sum, now k is m plus q, and second sum. Which has the same aspect. We have to write this in terms of omega sub n. In fact, first sum, you have here, this is again omega sub n, p by n plus p by q. But this part of exponent is not relevant, because omega sub n to the pn gives 1. So this term can be cancelled. Z prime plus, let us write the sum before, because it's the same sum, the same sum. We have again omega sub m. This term is cancelled, so only p by q is left. What about the factor outside? The factor outside can be written the term outside is This is a sum of exponents, so it is a product of scaling. The first factor in this product is, I write it explicitly, the exponential with the exponent the second, and it is left unchanged. Well, this complex exponential, which value gives? N is equal to the double of N. So we simplify N with N to 2. N. Only P is left. This exponential means minus 1. We have number of modulus 1, a complex number of modulus 1 with angle P. So it is simply minus 1. So we find that here outside we have minus omega sub n with exponent q. In conclusion, the second case, it is the formula for the last n over 2 entries of y, are given by you have again here the same term as before plus minus, sorry, this number, which is the same as before changed in sum. The second term, here the index is always P, is again the qth entry of y prime prime. Summarizing. In order to compute the vector y, that is the transform of z, in order to compute by the first leading n entries first of all 2 transforms of order and need, which gives us y prime and y prime. Moreover, the leading entries require m sums and complex additions and You see these plots, these sums, these additions, and these multiplications. The last thing, m entries require second formula, m subtractions or additions, additions, and these multiplications have already been done in the previous case. So here I stop. In total, we have n cube n. It is n complex additions, and n is n over 2 multiplications. The conclusion, that is the statement of the theorem. If we call A of n, you can find that has been used notation number of additions for the transformation of order n, and n number of multiplication for the transformation of the same transformation. Taking into account what we have just said, you find A of n is equal to 2 times A of n half plus n addition plus for the multiplications, we have again 2 times the multiplications required by the Hallett case, plus this time we have only another 2 multiplications. If we say that in the case of order 1 there is nothing to do for the transformation of order 1, there is nothing to be computed, we find, this can be found in various ways. Here is suggested to use different equations, but this is also a consequence of the master theorem of complexity. We find that A of n is exactly n log n, and the multiplication amount is given by n over 2 log n. have shown that the computation can be made in big O and log N.
There are great quantity of iterative, not recursive algorithms that use this idea,
all having this complexity.
First, the most famous are the algorithm called
Cooley and Taki.
All these algorithms are called FFT algorithms, where
the first F means fast Fourier transform. So this is the class of all algorithms having this complexity. Another frequently used is that you find in the software packets. The algorithm of gentleman and Sam.
Well, we stop here. Next time
we will say
not much more about the algorithmic aspects. We will give some examples of application of DFT and FFT to linear algebra problems, which occurs frequently in applications, in real problems. Okay. Okay, ci fermiamo qui.